Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes you have to speak victory to.
How many people are encouraged tonight?
Good morning, good morning, and welcome to Joy and Peace Outreach, where your host is none other than Minister Overseer Sadie Elliott. I am so glad and elated that you stopped by the show today because we have another exciting topic today to bring forth to you today. But before we start, let us pray. Oh, gracious Father, we come this morning in the most humblest way that I know how, dear Heavenly Father, to give you praise, to give you thanks, dear Heavenly Father, to give you the glory, dear Heavenly Father. It's all about you, Lord. It's not about me. Dear Heavenly Father, as this program go forth today, dear Heavenly Father, let it be something that's said that will help someone along this life journey this day, dear Heavenly Father. We want to give you praise in advance for it, dear Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and thank God. Well, I'd like to say good morning, first of all, to each and every person that have tuned in to this show. In case you're on the chat line, I'm over on the other line right now. I'm not on the switchboard, so I haven't gotten to the chat line as of yet. But for today, we're going to talk about don't serve the Lord leftovers. And, you know, as I thought about that, we have come to a point in time in our life as coming up. I'm going to use some examples first, that our parents gave us leftovers. Because if it was enough cooked the day before for the next day, and it was enough for everybody, we had leftovers. Or if it was some things left and they had to cook something else fresh, they'll pull out those leftovers to go with what they cook fresh to make a meal to feed you. But today, we are talking about leftovers that people give to God. Leftovers disrespect God. Don't give God the leftovers of your life. Give him your best. Don't give God, you know, just anything. But give God the best part of your day. When you are fresh and alert, when you get up in the morning, give God the beginning of the day. He woke you up this morning, put breath in your body, started you on your way. So you should give God the best. Not start with this, and this that's on your agenda for the day, but start off with God in your life. Give him the best because he woke you up this morning with breath in your body, fresh, anew. Even when you prepare to go to your job, you want to give your employer the best on your job. You want to give him all the time that you have. If they ask you to come do overtime or come in early or stay late, you're going to do it. But where is God in all of this? Do you give them the prime time? Start giving God everything, even while you're on your job. It may be somebody that you need to minister to. Put the paperwork down for a few seconds and minister to someone that life depends on the word of God. So today, as we get further in, don't serve the Lord leftover. And, you know, I was reminded even from the word of God on how in the word you will find it is in your Bible if you haven't tore it out. When Jesus fed the 5,000 with the 2 loaves of bread and 5 fish, and it was leftovers left. There was 12 baskets of leftovers that was left to feed God's people at another time. But we're talking about don't serve the Lord leftover. You know, a lot of people don't like leftovers, and neither does the Lord. For he is always asking us for the best, not our leftovers. You know, when God gives us something, he gives us the best. And I'll start off, when he gave his son, he gave his best. He gave us all that he had when he gave his son, his life for our life. So before we can really appreciate the Bible principles on how God wants us to handle the resources he has blessed us with so much, we must first do one important thing. Surrender everything to him. You must realize he the one gave you everything that you have. You didn't come up with on your own. He gave you everything that you had. So we want to give God today our best. I want to thank all of my callers that have come in. I see you on the switchboard. If you decide you want to talk, all you do is push number one on your keypad. I would love to hear from you today because God is so good. You know, we have to surrender. It isn't just talk. It isn't just a quick and a cheap statement, such as, okay, Lord, I give you my life, but not my money. Oh, here we come. Here we come. Ooh, or I'll give you my love, but not my home and my family. How can you give God your life when he give you life? And how you cannot give him the money when he provided you with the money? He provided a job for you. He provided income to come into your home. I know I'm going to step on some toes right there. I'm going to just go over to Malachi right quick. When he's telling you about giving, even in your tithing. You know, when it comes to tithing, everybody will pay their bills. Some people, not everybody. Forgive me for saying that. Some people, they'll pay their bills. They'll pay all their bills out, and what's left, the scraps. That's what they want to give God. But we have to give, always remember, to give God our best. And he gave us his best. And as I was reading in the Word, in Malachi, you know, it's always a tar between people on, well, what should I give? How should I give? You know, the Word explains what to give, how to give. And a lot of people go on their assumption. Do I give from the gross? Do I give from the net? Wait a minute. I have somebody that want to talk. Oh, praise God. Carla, you are now on the air.
Good morning. God bless you.
This good morning, woman
me.
Of
how
God.
Are
how are you doing?
I'm good.
Praise God. I hope you, I know you full of something to tell somebody that's listening on this line right now, but don't serve the Lord leftovers.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I'm enjoying everything that you're saying, and it is needed in the body. We have to get to that point where we not only want to hear the things that we ask God for or the things that God wants to say to us that is good, but we also need to hear what you're saying today, that we need to give God our best and not give God what we feel like is okay for him. You know, if people remember, that's what Cain did. He gave God what he felt like was okay. He didn't really want to give it to God. That's the thing. That's why the Bible says in the New Testament that God loves a cheerful giver. He made it clear because he doesn't want us to give because the Bible says we should. He wants us to do it from the heart. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will obey me. If you love me, not out of necessity, not out of because we should, and that's what the good book says, and all of that ain't going to mean nothing to God if it ain't out of love.
Yes.
He gave Cain the business, so to speak, when he said, listen, that's not what I asked you for, because basically that's what he was saying. I'm not asking you to give me something out of necessity. I'm not asking you to give me something that you don't want to give. If you don't want to give it, then don't, because it's not going to profit you to give God the leftovers. It's not going to profit you to give him something that it ain't in your heart to give in the first place.
All right. That's all right.
Come on now, woman of God. You're going to throw me something that you don't want to give me in the first place and say, here you go, God, be happy with that. Here you go. I gave what you asked me. Here you go. But in your heart, you're saying, I don't want to give you this. I shouldn't even have to give you this. You already have everything you need or you desire or you want. It ain't about us giving to him. It's about him giving to us. And he wants to give us more, but he ain't going to give you more of what you don't want to give up in the first place.
All right.
Go ahead, preach, woman of God.
Well, thank you, Pastor Variance, for coming on. I am so glad to hear you today. I thank you for sharing that with the people, because that is so true. You know, we want to tell God, well, God, I'm going to give you this, but I want all of this from you, you know. Even as I was saying, you know, I'll give you my home and my family, you know, but I can't give you this, you know. That's not surrendering. We got to totally sell out and surrender to God, you know, because it's not a 100% commitment to surrender. It's prayerfully saying, Lord, you own my body. You own the work of my hands. Lord, you own my family. Lord, you own my possession. Lord, everything I have is yours. You know, it is saying, Lord, you are Lord. Indeed, I want you to own my heart, Lord. To that, you surrender. You let God know. You don't be telling God, well, no, God, let me give you a little this. You trying to break off a little crumb here and a little piece there. Everything belongs to God. It ain't when it come to God, it ain't no sharing with God like you giving a little something to your child or your brother, your sister. No, that ain't nothing like that. When you belong to God, God got everything. He done give you everything that you need. So how do you have the audacity to say, well, I'm gonna give God this little bit of this belong to the Lord, when you yourself belong to the Lord? You're not your own. You belong to God. And, you know, you have to surrender. Until people come into the realization, you've got to surrender to God everything, because you own nothing. I just give this example. Have you ever seen a U-Haul on the way to the cemetery behind a hearse carrying anything? Naked you come here, naked you will leave. You don't know what they put on you when you're born, and surely you don't know what they put on you when you die. So how you think you're going to grab all this and take it with you? It ain't nothing you can do. God owns everything. The cattle on 1,000 here, everything on this earth belongs to God, including us. We don't even belong to ourselves. You know, and only when we have given everything to God for his use and not just warmed up, leftovers, will he bless and multiply what we have placed in his hand. You know, God will multiply what you give. You can't beat God giving, no matter how you try. The more you give, the more he give back to you. Seen that? I'm going to just use prayer. You seen that man or woman of God, or may not be a man or woman of God that you know up at the time, and you stop. They may have a sign say, hungry, will work for food, or I have children, I'm unemployed, and I'm going to tell you, saints, this will go through your mind. You looking at them. Well, they look pretty clean. They real dressed. Now, how much help do you need? I'm going to help you, saints, today that's listening. He got a sign. I don't see him come out to the 1st and the 15th. They drop him off in the van. Okay? I'm going to help you, saints, today. You go to think and say, oh, wait a minute. This is what's going on. Oh, we got somebody else on the line. Hold on. Coming right to you. Praise God. You're now on the air.
Hello. I'm listening to what you're saying. I have to say I disagree a lot, I think, what you're saying. You're saying to us that everything that we have in our life belongs to God. I would have tendency to say that choice and action belongs to you. Because I know a lot of people who praise God like you, who believes in God, who gives everything that they believe they give to God, and they have a miserable life. And I know other people who take responsibility for their life, who say, I have one life to live. I will do the best that I can in this life. I will take 100% responsibility for every choice I make in my life. I will not go to God for every problem that I have. I will try to resolve it because I am an intelligent human being, because I'm capable of doing great things in this world, even if I have one life in this world, who make great things in this world. So I don't agree with you. I know a lot of people who have that attitude who doesn't have anything in their life. Anything. Mm-hmm. Anything. And I know some people who take responsibility, who doesn't pray God every 2 minutes, who doesn't go to God, oh, my God, I got a problem with my health. Let's go with God. Oh, my God, I got a problem with money. Let's go to God. No. They look at themselves in the mirror. They pick themselves up. They say, you know what? I got a problem with that. Let me do something about it. I can make it. I could do whatever I need to do in this world to make it. And that's the voice that we need. We need more encouraging of people saying, you could do whatever you need to do. You came in this world to be great. You didn't came in this world to be poor. You didn't came in this world to not succeed. And the way you're sounding it is like you came in this world and nothing you could do without God. I don't believe that.
Okay. Oh, you know, I'm glad you came on. As I was listening to you, you say you disagree. Well, you know, we could disagree and agree.
Right.
But just like you woke up this morning, God is the one who woke you up. The alarm clock didn't wake you up. You yourself, no matter how much you wanted to do something today, if it had not been God that woke you up and started you on your way this morning, no matter how many things that you had you wanted to accomplish today, you could not have done any of those without God. Even with your job, if you're working, you could have went in this morning and found out you had a paint slip. You no longer had a job. It wasn't due to maybe something that you did, right? But God stepped in and opened a door for you to get another job.
No, God didn't step. God didn't step in to have another job.
Okay, so you stepped in and you took care of everything yourself.
I work hard to have that job. I work hard to have that job. And if a pink slap would have happened, then I would have to take responsibility for that thing, look at myself in the mirror, and I would have to say, what could I do to resolve that issue?
Okay.
That's the responsible thing. I would have not gone to God and saying, oh, my God, God, what are you going to do about it? And just sit in my butt like a lot of Christians do and sit in my chair and say, God, please change that situation. No, that's not the way you resolve anything in this world. No.
Well, no, it's not that you resolve it like that. Go ahead, baby. Go ahead.
Okay. Part of what you're saying is a part of what God says. When God says you have to take action, that does not mean lack of responsibility. In the Bible, it tells you to take responsibility for everything that you do, not things that you don't have control of, meaning you get into your car today, you get into an accident, somebody hits you from a blind side, or however that goes. You have no control over what happens. Now, yeah, we got people who are better at driving than others. Yeah, we got people who can, you know, see things from a distance and other people can't. But physically, you are not in control of that accident. So when you look at life and the things that you do, yes, you do have to get up. Yes, you do have to go. Yes, you do have to take action. Yes, you have to take and also accept responsibility for every choice that you make, for every decision that you make. But what she was saying and what we are saying is not the fact that God does not require you to take action, because the Bible is very clear that you can talk about your faith all you want and what you believe or what you want God to do, but unless you are willing to move and to take part in what God is asking you to do, then there is no faith without doing something, which means if I'm looking for a job or if I want a job, then I pray to God and I say, God, show me the job I want. Show me the job that I'm supposed to have and help me to get the job that is okay for me. And then I go out there and I look for a job. A job is not going to fall into my lap. A house, an apartment is not going to fall into my lap. A husband, a wife, none of those things are going to fall out of the sky. You have to look for a husband, look for a wife, look for a friend. You know, look to be pregnant or whatever it is that you're looking to do. When you go to college, you look to get a degree. You look to have a career. You look to have these things. But what we are saying is it's God who allows you to have the strength to get up every day, because we don't make ourselves healthy. We don't do that. We're not the responsible people who say, okay, I'm going to be healthy, so this body is going to stay healthy, and I'm going to get up and go, because tomorrow is not promised to me or you, regardless of whether I believe in God or you don't believe in God. That doesn't promise us tomorrow. That doesn't promise us health. That doesn't promise us that somebody's not going to break into your bank account or my bank account and steal every dime I have. The government can't promise you that safety. The state can't promise you that safety. Legislation, politicians, judicial, where the system is out there that is supposed to protect us and keep us safe. If it was so safe, then we would not have identity theft. If it was so safe and we're all in control of everything, we would not have terrorists. We would not have murders. We would not have rapists. We would not have all of these things that happen, because we ourselves would be able to keep all of these things or people under control. The law itself does not stop people from stealing your car or my car. It does not stop them from breaking into our account. It does not stop them from doing wrong. So it's not the fact that we're saying, oh, my God, God's going to take care of everything. You sit back, you do nothing, you watch him work. That still works. So what we're saying, if we're saying that, is we're going to be lazy. We're going to do nothing. God's going to be productive and effective, and he's going to do all the work, and we as his children or his people will do nothing. That is not God's will. If you even go in the beginning of the Bible, whether you believe the God of the Bible or don't believe in God, if you read the Bible in the beginning when he made heaven and earth, and then he got ready to create Adam, he said there is not a man to till the ground. What does that mean? There was not a man to work. Because if he meant for you to do nothing and be lazy, he would have just created you, period, without you having to do any single thing. Food would come, money would come, clothes would come, houses would come. No, we all have to work, and that was made clear when he said in the Bible, there's not a man to till to work the ground.
And that's the message. And that's the message. I think it's more as important as what you're saying, because I listened to you and I was waiting for you to say, but don't forget that it's your action that will do something. Because I kept hearing, oh, God will do this. God, without God, I would. I'm like, no. Without God, yes. If you have believe in faith or God, or if you don't believe in God, like you say, yes.
Right.
You could still make it. You will still make it in this world and everything. I don't think God is a spiritual thing that we all have a different definition what it is. Fine. But without action, without you believing in yourself, you won't make it in this world. You won't. And you are in control of what you could control. You cannot control other people. You could only control one person, which is yourself. And I believe that more than anything in this world. And I think that if everybody had that in this world, it would be a better world that we have right now.
Well, I think that if everybody accepted their own responsibility for their own actions, yes, it would be a better world. But that's not the world we live in. We would much rather have other people accept responsibility for the things that they say and do than for us ourselves to accept every responsibility of every action, of every word, of everything that we do or our family do, because what we do is we make it okay for certain people to do certain things and not others. We make it okay for certain people to lie at certain times and not others. We call it a little white lie, or you tell your son to tell your wife that you're not there, or you tell your boss tells you to tell the people who are calling into the line that they're in a meeting. That's a lie. They're not in a meeting. Oh, yeah, it's to protect. Oh, yeah, it's to answer the phones and make sure we get the right people in. A lie is a lie is a lie. We tell our children lying is wrong, yet we lie to each other. Yet we tell them, okay, if it's not somebody that I want to talk to on the phone, tell them mommy's not home, daddy's not home, that's a lie. What are we teaching our children? If we go into morals, if we go into ethics, if we go into values, half of the stuff we teach and preach and speak on, we don't do ourselves. That's what you call a hypocrite. And that's why the world is the way it is today. It's okay for us to do certain things. It's not okay for others. And we find ourselves in a dilemma because it cannot be halfway right. It has to be all the way right or all the way wrong.
I agree with you with that. So please continue your show. I was just wanting to add that comment, but it's great. I appreciate
you,
that you said that
you
because I think that people need to hear
also.
That part also because
right.
I listen to you and everything, but I appreciate what you just said. It is very important what you just said. Thank you.
You're quite
Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you. And we have area code 217 and area code 918. If you'd like to come on, just press 1 on your keypad. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Pastor Berrios. And as I continue on, thank you. You know, as I was going, surrender is never easy. But sacrifice is required. You know, when we look at the master call for sacrifice, in light of how much our Heavenly Father loves us, surrender is transformed us from a sacrifice into a choice privilege. You know, as I was reading the word, I went to Job. And I know everyone has read about Job and story of Job. And Job is one of my main characters I love to read and know what he went through. Take Job, for example. He was a lover of God, and nothing could affect the way he felt about God. Job said, "The Lord gives, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And you'll find that in Job 1 and 21. Whoever may have their Bible or may not, you can write it down and go back to it later. Even after he had lost his possession and his children, Job's love for God was unchanged, which is why he could say with such confidence, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." You know, when we love God and respond to his love for us, everything changes. What and how we give back to him are only partial expression of our love. We should also love him in our service, in our worship, in our dedication, in our obedience, in our relationship, and in everything. If our love for him is not evident in everything we do, then we are not totally surrendered. We haven't totally surrendered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I went to Mark, the 12th chapter and the 30th verse, we read, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy understanding." And, you know, to love God with all our heart means to love him with every atom of our being. And to love God with all our soul means to love him with all our emotion and our will. Our emotion and our will he give to us. To love God with all thy mind means to love him with our intellect and everything we understand about him. You know, when we grasp the dimension of his love, we are so overwhelmed that everything we are and have become his. You know, and as the Apostle Paul described in Galatians 2 and 20, it says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who live in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me." And that's what I was saying by, you know, coming to, don't serve the Lord leftover. Here God gave us you know, the faith in the Son of God who loved me. And here he let me know he gave himself for me. It wasn't me give me to him. He gave himself to me.
Amen.
If you like to, if anybody would like to say anything, please come right on. Just press 1 on your keypad, because I know everybody have different views. God give everybody something different. And we would like to share that today. We would like to hear from everyone today on this, because we serve a true and a living God. And
Amen.
We know we love the best. Hello? And we love to receive the best from God. So we, in turn,
yes.
want to give God our best.
Yeah.
You have something you want to say, Pastor Farias?
I just want to say to everybody, just know that God loves you and God cares about you. And everything that God does, he did and does for you and I. And he is concerned about how you feel. He's concerned about what you're going through. He's concerned about what you've been through. He's concerned about you because you are his child. You are his creation. You are a part of what he sat down and thought out and said, I'm going to make a child. I'm going to make children. I'm going to make an earth for them to live in. I'm going to bring water and animals and all kinds of things, and I'm going to make this beautiful place for them to live and to be happy and to grow and to have everything that is wonderful and that is good. You know, so God just wants you to know and to understand that he created everything for you, for your happiness, that he created you also to be happy and for his happiness, and that he loves and cares for you, and just wants you to recognize that he is God, that he is the creator of heaven and earth, that he's the reason why you have everything that you have. Yes, we all are capable of doing things, but we're only capable because he created us, because he empowers us, because he equips us to do things and to be great. Greatness is inside of every one of you, but that greatness came from some place. It came from someone, and that someone is the Father God, the Creator, the Alpha and the Omega, and he loves you. He's going to be there for you. He's going to be there for your family, and he's going to help you to get to know him and to like him, to understand and to trust him and to grow with him.
Amen. Thank you so much. Because, you know, in the presence of such great love that God has for us, we can't help but being touched and overwhelmed. You know, truly, the love of Christ constrains us to give him our very best. Our Father is never contented with leftovers.
Amen.
But throughout Scripture, we find in Scripture, it's in your Bible if you haven't tore it out, in Scripture, we find the Father asking for the first and the best. We find that in the Word of God. It's not just me saying, it's in the Word of God that he asks us to give him our best. It's in there to give us the first and the best. He gave his first and the best, which was his Son.
Amen.
And we can't give him back what he asks us that rightly belong to him. Sure, we have acquired these things on earth, but if it had not been for his Son going to the cross for us, dying for our sins, where would we be today? We can surrender to him today. He's about love, and that's what it boils down to, is to love God with all our
Amen.
Soul, with all our heart, with all our emotion, our will. It's to love and please God. It's not to please us. It's to please God. So whatever we do, we should do in excellently for God. Give him our best no matter what we're doing. Give him
Amen.
The best. Ah, you know, we have a few minutes left today. If anybody would like to come on and say anything today, I want to give you an opportunity to share what God may have on your heart today. Because we don't know until someone speak up. on how they feel about that today, because we know, we read it in his word. Every time we pick the scripture up, we read it about God's word. He left the word back here for us to go by. So all
can
we can do.
Woman of God?
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
And I want to, you know, be really brief for somebody else is trying to call in and speak, they can. What is it like to give your employer all your best, or to give your husband or your wife all your best, or all your heart, all your money, all your time, all of everything you have, or your friends, or your family members, or your children, but not to give it to God? What is that like, to give everything to everyone but the one who gives everything to you? Because if you can give your best to all of these people, employers, houses, cars, children, family, associates, friends, then we have to, it is our obligation and responsibility to give our best to him who gives his best to us.
That is so true. You know, like you were saying, Pastor Various, after all this is said, what you just said, that they give all this out, all they come to God with, if anything, is a remnant, if they got that. Because at the end of the day, they didn't give their time out to the employer, to the children, to the husband. When it's time to give God me time, where is God in the picture? What time do you have where you pick up your Bible and read? What time do you fast? What time do you pray? What time do you even tell God, thank you for this day? Thank you for my family. Thank you for the job. Thank you for the house. Thank you for the car. You have given yourself totally over to everything in the world. You jump in the bed or whatever, you ain't said your prayers, you ain't thanked God, you ate your food, you didn't give grace. When did you give God your best?
My God.
And that's why I was saying, don't serve the Lord leftover. Because at the end of the day, all you giving God is the remnant, if you still got that. But when you wake up in the morning, he wake you up at 2, 3, 4, 5. He's giving you time. Okay, I want to talk to you, Pastor Verence. I want to talk to you, Overseer Sadie. This is our time. I want to share some things with you that will occur today. I want you to get into my word today. I got a word for you to give to somebody. But if you never get in the presence of God, how can you give God your best?
Amen.
And, you know, I look at the things that's going on in the world. God made the world just like he made us. We know these things will come to pass because it's in his word. But if you've never picked up your Bible to read what the word of God says, you don't know which way to go.
Amen.
You don't know when a famine hit. You don't know till an earthquake done hit. You don't know till a tornado done hit your city. But God is giving you warnings after warnings after warnings.
Yes.
But people are not paying attention. They're doing their own thing. They think everything they do is their will to do. No, you may not run to God soon as the boom fall down. But before the day is over, you're going to be calling on the name of Jesus. If it ain't no more, God help me. God save me.
Amen.
In your dying hour, you need Jesus.
Come on.
And if you have never surrendered or received the Master, how can you call on him? If you never spent no time with him, not even in the Word of God. The word, every question we need, every problem that you go through, he's already written it in the Word of God. And all we have to do is pick up that word, apply it to our life each and every day. Because He has it already here for us. It's here for the action. It's people dying in countries all around the world that they wish they had the opportunity to be able to pray in the morning, pray in the evening, pray at supper time, pray all during the day, pray on their job, pray at their desk. Pick up their word and share with somebody. And we have an opportunity to the freedom that we can pick up our Bible. We can go to God in prayer. I don't mean, it didn't mean that you're going to have it under your arms 24-7, but once you start getting that word on the inside of you, it started getting into your belly. When you need something, it's going to start gurgitating up. And when you open your mouth, it's going to spill out. It's going to start coming up when you need it. And I'd rather have the word on the inside of me. I'd rather be giving God praise now, while I have a chance, while I'm able to stand and tell him thank you, to declare the works of God. Because somebody didn't wake up this morning. They went to bed with intentions of waking up, but they didn't. Or if somebody woke up, they may woke up with a stroke, with anything that the enemy had come in and inflict them with.
Right.
And you tell me you don't need God to combat that? You need God? So if you, just like you go to the bank, if you always taking out every bit of money you got in the bank, one day you're going to go to the bank, but you ain't made no deposit. How you expect to get something from the bank? That's just the way with Jesus. You keep going to Jesus like he a Santa Claus. And one day he going to tell you, well, you've never made a deposit. You haven't read my word. You haven't hid that word in your heart. When you had it, you didn't help my children with it. You didn't give nothing. I didn't need it. I gave it to you. I didn't need it, but it's the principle of what I said in my word. So what do you have to fall back on? So just remember today, whatever you do, keep God with you. Keep love, because he's all about love. He loves each and every one of us, no matter who you are, what part of the country you are, what city or hamlet, God loves each one of us. His son died on the cross for every one of us, that we may have the right to the tree of life. And we want to have everything. We want everything God got. So why not give God our best?
Amen.
Ah, thank you. Did anyone want to say any closing remarks before we leave the air today?
I just want to say I thank God for this word. I thank God for you and the ministry and what he's using you to do and say and what he's doing in your life. And I thank God for everything that he's doing in the lives of every person that believes or doesn't believe, because that Bible says God reigns on the just as well as the unjust, that God will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. So know that God's love and God's mercy extends to those who believe in him as well as those who don't believe in him. And it is our hope and our prayer today that you would come to know God like we do, that you would come to understand that he is loving, he's kind, he's patient, he's caring, he's forgiving, he wants to do everything good for you, but he does want to be recognized as your God, as your father, as your provider, as the one who's making sure you can do the things that you do every single day. There's so many people in so many countries and so many cities and states and places who would love to have the health that we have, they don't have it. They would love to have the job we have, they don't have it. They would love to have the husbands, the wives, the sons, the daughters, but they don't have it, and we do have it. So, you know, for us to be grateful and for us to be thankful for everything that we do have and to recognize that every good thing we have in our life has been given to us by God. He does want us to have all those great things. He does want us to work hard, to appreciate, and but to recognize that without him we wouldn't have anything, not even this world or our life itself, because that came from him as well. So I thank God for this word. I thank God for this message. You know that we love all of you, that we're not against you, but we're always for you, and that we are ready, willing, and able to receive you in the body of Christ whenever you walk through that door, and we love you.
Amen. Thank you so much. I have one caller. I don't know if they want to come on and pray us off, but if you do, would you hit 1 on your keypad? And if not, we'll understand. But we thank you for coming to the air, area code 918, area code 217. I thank you so much. And if you would like to say anything before we get ready to leave the air, just hit 1 on your keypad. I know you're familiar with it. And I thank you so very much for coming to the show today, because it's all about Jesus. It's not about overseer, pastor, Sadie. It's about Jesus.
Right.
Everything I do, I want to do to God in excellence. No, we may not say the right things for everybody the same time. We may not do the same things for everybody. But when we're led by God and let God rule in our life and guide our footsteps, he will take us all the way if we just willing to surrender to him and give him our all in all. And until next week, I want to say thank you very much for coming on the show today. Please stay tuned, because we have another exciting topic on next week, and we are talking about something the parents can do for their children every day, some things that they can speak over their children and grandchildren on next week. So until next week, from Overseer Sadie Elliott, Joy and Peace Outreach, I want to thank you so much for coming and being part of this great show. I thank every caller that came on, and I thank every caller that got clarity of where we was trying to take them on before we got to it. But I want to thank God for it today, and I thank each and every one of you. I ask God blessing upon each and every one of you. And if I had the tentacle of an octopus, I would hug each one of you and tell you just how much I love you. I want y'all to have a blessed and a prosperous day in the Lord. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.